I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 24, the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew's Gospel. I'd like you to follow us in the reading of God's infallible word this evening. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, commencing to read at the verse number 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountain. Let him which is on the housetop not turn or come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that we're not reliant upon the wisdom of man to break the word, but we thank thee that thy word we can understand through the leading and guiding of thy Holy Spirit. And I pray tonight, O God, that I might know that liberty and power and enablement of the Holy Ghost as the word of God is proclaimed. We pray that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ himself will be uplifted and honored in this place, and that even this night that precious souls on the 1st of January 2017 can be gloriously and wonderfully saved. Answer prayer, for we pray in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. I want you to turn to this 24th chapter. I want you to keep your Bibles open, and we'll commence at the first verse of this passage of God's Word. Because that gives us a setting of the question that was asked by the disciples privately to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God says Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Now, the temple complex, not only the temple itself, and not only the courtyard, but all the temple complex was indeed a very impressive sight. Whenever you go to Israel today, you'll simply look upon the Temple Mount. You'll not see the temple or the temple court there, because that has been taken away and disappeared. You'll see other buildings that are there, but I do believe that one day you will find that that temple, there will be a temple rebuilt upon that Mount of Olives. Now, of course, for that to happen, there's going to be difficulties, there's going to be problems, because there's two buildings already there on that mount which are connected with the Muslim religion. And, of course, they will not want to see their buildings in any way removed for the replacement of the temple once again on that mount. But, of course, it was a very impressive building. And the disciples, the Bible tells us, the disciples wanted to show Jesus, and he wanted to show him the glory of the temple buildings. Of course, you know, I think that's wonderful. The disciples, they wanted to show the Lord the buildings of the temple. Now, let me tell you, the Lord knew more about the buildings than they did. But they, of course, they wanted to show the Lord. They were so impressed by the buildings. And as the Savior left the temple, he was still in view of it, and the eyes of the disciples were dazzled by the magnificent splendor of the temple at that time. And of course, we have today, many people are carried away with the magnificent splendor of church buildings. Let me tell you, if the Lord's not there, it means absolutely nothing. But thank God, when the presence of the Lord is there, we were in a tin hut, but the Lord was there. And friend, I can tell you, man wasn't taken with the dazzling splendor and magnificence of the buildings. But I can tell you, we were taken by the magnificent splendor of the Lord. And of course, the disciples there were taken up with the splendor of these buildings, and they wanted to show the Lord Jesus the buildings, and to tell them, to draw his attention to these buildings. Now, the Bible says Jesus went out and departed from the temple. He had been there in the temple. It is significant because the Bible says he went out from the temple. And what I want you to understand is this, that when the Lord Jesus went out of the temple that day, he went out of it for the final time. The Lord Jesus Christ never returned to the temple after that. It was his last visit to the temple, and the Lord left the temple. He departed from it that day, never to return to the temple again. He would return to it no more. And as the disciples directed the Savior's attention to the building, the Lord Jesus Christ reminded them of something that was going to happen. Because it says in verse number 2, Jesus says, "See ye not all these things?" That was the temple court and the temple buildings. He says, your eyes are upon them, but I want to tell you something. There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And so therefore the Lord Jesus Christ was drawing their attention to the devastation and the destruction that would soon be fulfilled, and soon the city of Jerusalem and soon the temple complex would be dug up and laid level to the ground. In actual fact, it was plowed like a field. It was leveled. There was not a stone that was left upon one stone upon another. Just exactly as the Lord Jesus Christ had prophesied it. He says, you've got your eyes on those buildings. Let me tell you, you see all of those mighty stones. I want to tell you, there'll come a moment, there's coming a day, that there'll not be one stone left upon another, but it'll be torn down. And so it was, friend. And you know, everything that the Lord Jesus Christ says, of course, is not only true, but the prophecies he's made, they all did come true and will come true. And when we're looking at chapter 24, let me tell you, and we come to the prophecy and we come to the thinking about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, so often people say, "Preacher, what do you think about this?" I want to tell you, my friend, in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, it's not what the preacher is thinking. It's Jesus who's giving the prophecy. It's the Lord Jesus Christ that's giving it. And therefore, it's exact. It's not the interpretation of man. It is exactly as the Lord Jesus Christ. And that, it said in verse number 2, in AD 70, friend, the Roman general Titus, the armies came in to Jerusalem, and by the Roman invasion, it destroyed Jerusalem, the city, and destroyed the temple and all the beauty of the complex. Now the Lord Jesus leaves that all behind. In verse number 3 it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately." You know, the Mount of Olives is overlooking the temple. The Lord Jesus Christ could look right in. He could look right in. He could see exactly what was happening out there in the courts of the temple as the people were going to and fro to the temple. They were caught up with the earthly temple. The Lord Jesus Christ, he sits down upon the Mount of Olives. And as he sits, the disciples come privately to him. And they have a private audience with the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice this, friend. Whilst it is a private audience, it says they came privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, they came privately to him. But notice what the Holy Ghost has done for us. The Holy Ghost has recorded what Jesus privately said. And you and I are allowed to enter into what the Lord Jesus Christ said in response to the question that those disciples asked him. And friend, I believe they asked him a very important question. And down the centuries, many have pondered that question. It is true, of course, not many preachers preach on the second coming of Christ anymore. Seems to be that is a subject that men want to leave aside. There's many preachers shun it. And I tell you this, my friend, the devil wants you to ignore it. Because you see, the Lord Jesus Christ is not coming to Bethlehem. He's not coming to be crucified on a cross. He's not coming to be despised or rejected of men. Thank God when he comes the next time, he's coming to reign. And the Lord Jesus shall set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. That's what the book tells us. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, yes, that same Jesus, the one that sat there on the Mount of the Olives and the Mount of Olives with the disciples, and they came privately to him, and the Holy Spirit has recorded. You know why? Because God wants us to hear it. God doesn't want you to ignore this. God wants you to hear it. God wants you to know it, friend. Notice what the disciples asked him. Here's the question. Tell us. Master, tell us. They sought the Master for the answer. They said, "Master, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Let me tell you, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say when. Do you ever hear a preacher telling you when Jesus Christ is coming again? You can know that that person's not speaking in accordance to the Word of God, because the Bible says, "Of that day and that hour knoweth no man." Look at verse 36 of that chapter. It says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven." The very angels do not know of that day when it is, but my Father only. And they really wanted to know. They wanted to know. They had questions. You know, I thank God the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say, "I'm not going to tell you anything about this." Of course, it says it is not for you to know the times and seasons, but let me tell you, friend, we don't know the day of his coming, but we do know this, that Jesus Christ is coming again. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming in power. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming in glory. And those disciples, they privately came to the master and said, tell us. Lord, tell us. Have you a desire to hear what Jesus said, friend? This is what the Lord told them. That's what we're going to look in tonight. As I said this morning, you just don't cover it in a few moments, or in probably a message, but he said, tell us. They really wanted to know. You know, there are many ungodly men, and they're interested in the subject of the last days or the end of the world. You notice that word there in verse number 3, and the end of the world. Actually, in the it is the end of the age. It's the end of the age. Because you see, the age in which we are living, friend, will end and a new age begin. And so they asked him the question, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And there are those who have an interest in the last days. Now, for some, it's curiosity. They want their curiosity satisfied. For others, of course, my friend, they do acknowledge, even the ungodly acknowledge, that there's something happening in this world, friend, that we're moving, somehow we're moving towards a climax. Ungodly men say that to me. There is something happening in the world, preacher. I don't know what it is. And here's ungodly men, and they realize that there is something happening. We're moving towards a climax. Although they don't know what it is. Of course, I know what it is, and so do you. The return of Christ. For the Lord Jesus is coming again. Of course, others reject the coming of the Lord Jesus and the end of the age. They reject that as nonsense because, you know, it just continues on. It just continues on. I remember the time whenever property was at its height and people said, surely there has to come a bust someday. And people said, no, listen, I heard that before. It just goes on. Let me friend, it didn't. The bubble did burst. And men and women think, you know, that this is just going to on because let me tell you, they have got nothing for any future. As far as they're concerned, the world needs to go on because they have nothing else. And what I want you to notice is what Jesus said. And that's what we're coming to tonight. What did Jesus say? Now look at verse number 4. It says, and Jesus answered. So the Lord Jesus Christ didn't leave them in a vacuum. The Lord Jesus answered. And this chapter, friend, not just simply a few verses, this chapter gives us a definite insight into what will happen at the end of this age. I believe that they had a genuine interest here. They asked for the sign of thy coming. Now, I believe that there are signs in the world that's related to this earth, things that are happening on this earth. There are signs in the church. I believe also there are signs in Israel. We'll not be able to go into that tonight because that takes us far beyond we'll ever get. And so therefore, I'm just only simply saying there are signs, yes, and on this earth what's happening. And there are signs indeed in the church of Jesus Christ and signs in relation to Israel. And what I want to notice tonight, first of all, is the general insight here. The general, and you'll understand why I say the general insight. Because let me tell you, what the Lord Jesus Christ instructed them here and the insight that he gave them was concerning the last days. But it's important for you to remember this. People say to me, are we not in the last days? Friend, we are. Because in actual fact, it is important to note that the last days cover the period from the ascension of Christ to his coming again. Those are all the last days. You see, some people think, you know, and they're looking for some particular sign. And whenever they read these verses, whenever they say, look at verse number 6, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And they say, preacher, let me tell you, we must be near. We must be so close to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, my friend, you'll find that the context was not simply today that we have wars and rumors of wars. That was right back when the Lord Jesus Christ was saying, in the last days, that would be happening. You see, until the glorious appearance of Christ. You say, how do I know the last days? Well, just keep your hand there. We'll be back in a second. Hebrews chapter 1. The Holy Ghost puts it like this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times or various times, divers manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And then if you turn to 1 John in chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, and the verse number 18, it says this, little children, it is the last time. It is the last time. And so we're talking about days, the last days. And the Lord did not answer them. Yes, he did, but he didn't answer to indulge their curiosity. But the Lord Jesus Christ was seeking to give them an insight that was necessary for them to know. And I want you to notice things, because I said there's the threefold division. The insight into what is happening on the earth, and then what is happening in the church, and what is happening in Israel. The sign, the times. Now, when you go to verse number 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, and this is what he said first of all, this is important. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Here's the caution. Here's the caution. And what the Lord Jesus Christ was cautioning them was about confusion, against confusion that would be sown by those who are out to deceive. And friend, that was an important advice to give, not only to the disciples, but it's important advice tonight. Because the Lord once warns them against the dangers of being taken in by deceivers, by falsehood. You see, deception over spiritual matters is not something that's new. You remember the devil? Go back to Genesis. And the devil came in the form of the serpent, and he spoke to Eve, and he said, you know, Eve, God's holding out on you because God knows if you're to take that fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll become God. You'll become your own God. And God doesn't want you to become God. And God doesn't want you to be master of your own destiny. God is holding out on you. And so therefore, Eve, you take of that fruit. Let me tell you, my friend, the devil told her it would make her as a God. But it was a deception. It was a deception. And ever since, the devil has been deceiving men and women into falsehood. In actual fact, rather than elevating her to become God and Adam to become as God, you know what happened, friend? It's called the fall. It wasn't elevation, it was the fall. And rather than becoming, let me tell you, rather than them becoming gods, the Bible tells us that they became children of wrath and children of the devil. That was the fall of man. But the devil had deceived them. And so the Savior tells his disciples to give attention to what he's saying. And he warns them that there are those that will come to them, and they will, and to the church of Jesus Christ, and they will come as the servants of God, and yet in reality, they are of the devil. And the devil's out simply to deceive them. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 13, it says, "For such are false prophet or false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And so the Lord warns them against deception. And what will they say? Look at verse 5. It says, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." I want to tell you, friend, that was the warning. And remember, he's warning his disciples this. It's not only for this day. He was warning them. It says in the word of God, "Take heed that no man deceive you." He was talking to his disciples there on the Mount of Olives, and he realized there were those who would come to seek to deceive them. Whenever the Savior would be taken from them. And if you go down to verse number 25 of verse chapter 24, it says, "Behold, look, I've told you. I've told you before." Just you remember, I've told you this. I've warned you this. You're warned. I've told you. You see, friend, whenever we come to the caution here, notice peddlers of error. If you look there in verse number 5, it says, "For many shall come." They're plentiful. They're plentiful. Not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of God, and not everyone that comes proclaiming that they are of God are of God at all. They're deceivers. And they're plentiful. I'll tell you something else. They're not only plentiful, they're persuader. They're persuasive. Because notice what it says in verse 5, "and shall deceive many." So they're persuasive. And there's something else, they're perilous. Verse number 23, it says, "Then if any man say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not." Don't you believe them? And there's also something else about them. Verse 24 of that chapter, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible that they deceive the very elect." Friend, let me tell you, they're powerful. And you know, people are looking for signs and wonders today. People are carried away with that. They want signs and wonders. People are very fickle. And if a new fad comes into the district, let me tell you, they'll flock to it. That's a deception. That's a danger. But remember what Jesus said. Listen, remember, I warned you. They're powerful. They're impressive. They're influential. So the Lord, we ask the question, then what do we do? How can we stand against these deceivers, friend? The simple, very answer is this. Child of God, stick to the Word of God. Stick to the book. And that's what this denomination has got to do, friend. We must not stray from the Word of God. We must stick to the book. Do you know there are many places tonight, let me tell you, that people are running to, and the Bible's hardly opened. It's hardly opened. It's not a preaching house anymore. I want to tell you, my friend, if you want to hear a word from God, then you gather around the Word. The book has got to be open. That's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, "Timothy, I'm telling you this, preach the Word, Timothy, preach it." I'm telling you why. Because the day is coming when they'll not endure sound doctrine. But they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Teachers that tell them what they want to hear. And that have a little wee uplift. But friend, there's nothing. There's nothing behind it. Sad to say, that's why many cults are taking over, and that's why many people are being led astray tonight, because the preaching houses have turned away from the Word. They've turned away from the book. Without God's Word as your guide, friend, you'll fall easy prey to this deception of the devil. And I'll tell you why it's so dangerous. Because so much of it, friend, let me tell you, it is so close to the truth. It has got something that's just, it sounds very like to what people were brought up with. Until you start digging and get beneath the surface. You know, the book says, 1 John 4:1, try the Spirit and see whether it be of God. The psalmist, Psalm 119, says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 160, thy word is true. Verse 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And friend, when this deception is so much, what do you got to do? And it's so easy. Listen, people are so easily carried away today because it sounds like the real thing. That's what makes it dangerous. I want to tell you, whenever the devil wants you to sup out of the bottle, friend, he's not putting it poison on the label. Because he knows you'll not take it. But boys, he'll take something. He'll make the syrup into something that he knows that's sweet to your taste. And people are deceived. How do they thrive, the false cults that are about today, friend? You see, when you turn away, when you deviate from the Word of God, you're easy pickings for the devil. And the devil's deceivers sow confusion. And that's a mark of the last days. The Lord Jesus warned his disciples about that. You look and just hold your hand back there. Go to Jeremiah chapter 14. In Jeremiah 14 and verse number 13, it says, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, Jeremiah, the prophets prophesy lies. Well, notice, in my name. Oh, they're not blaspheming the name of God openly. They're doing it in his name. And God said this, I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake I unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. You see, it's attractive. And quite often, my friend, with what these cults and these false teachers are doing, it's very attractive. Very satisfying to the feelings. But God did not send them. Neither is it of God. And so the first thing is the caution about confusion. The second thing is, if you go to verses 6 and 7, it is conflict. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. It doesn't take much to start a war today. You turn on the news, and you'll hear of a war, rumors of war, unrest is everywhere. See, with the modern equipment that we have, listen, in a moment, in a second, news flashes come across your television screen or on the modern media outlets about conflict. Day after day, we have been pumped into our minds the news of tragic conflicts breaking out. Distress and upheaval is everywhere. And friend, the world's on a knife edge. Just seems to be there's a pot boiling. But the Lord Jesus was also talking about the disciples' day. Wars and rumors of wars have been down the centuries. I was looking at a UN report in 2015 which said violent conflicts around the world have become significantly more complex over the first decade and a half of the century. In other words, the first 15 years of the 2001 to 2015, with new conflict drivers layered on outstanding ones. You see, even the outstanding ones, they're not settled. The war in Iraq, it's not settled, is it? The war in Afghanistan, it's not settled, is it? And friend, to be honest with you, as we start a new year, I have no doubt somebody will come to say to me, they say, you know, preacher, maybe this year will be better than the last with all the trouble that's happening in the world. Let me tell you, friend, I'm not depressing you, but I'm telling you the truth. That'll not be a reality. 2017 won't be a better place than last year. We have no promise that that's a reality. The security councils of the world have their meetings. The UN has its meetings. They're totally impotent, powerless to do anything. The President of the United States drew a line in the sand as far as Syria was concerned. You saw just how quickly that the line was just scraped to the side. And Russia and Syria and Iran, they laughed at Obama with his line in the sand. Friend, that's the danger, of course. World leaders talking about line in the sand, and then, of course, it means absolutely nothing. They have their peace conferences all over the world, and they're heralded as the peace conferences, and yet the world's in turmoil. Whether it be in southern Sudan, whether it be in Yemen, whether it be in Iraq, Afghanistan, Turkey, Israel, in the Middle East, Syria, Africa, the drug wars in New Mexico, or even Europe, the unrest. Remember a few years they talked about, a previous president of the United States talked about the new world order. What was going to happen was this, a new world utopia, peace. And yet the Word of God says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, verse 6. Nation, verse 7, shall rise against nation. Friend, surely all of that's distressing. But I want you to notice something. Notice there's a wee line in there. Look at verse 6 again. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. Have you read about that before? Oh, you've read it, but did you take note of it? The Lord, here's a word of comfort here. You're not to be troubled. Do you know why? Because God hasn't lost control, friend. What is happening in this old world? Let me tell you, the plan of God is going to be fulfilled exactly as the Lord has said it would. Because notice what the Word of God says in that verse, for all these things must come to pass. Not the might, the must. So, child of God, I'm not depressing you tonight, because I can tell you I'm comforting you tonight. Because the Lord says to you, even though this is all happening, don't you be troubled. Remember another time he said that to his disciples, John chapter 14. He was telling them that he was leaving them. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, he says, I'll come again and I'll receive you unto myself. Let me tell you, my friend, look at verse 6 again. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. And then look at the last line. But the end is not yet. And the wars and rumors of wars, friend, of themselves, are not the sign of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the characteristic of the age. It's the characteristic of the age in which we are living in. But he says that they must occur. The end is not yet. All these must come to pass. The end is not yet. They must occur before the end. So we have got the caution about confusion, deceivers. And the Lord says, don't be taken in. And then we have the conflict. And then if you look at the end of verse number 7, we have the calamities. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. You see, friend, what has gone before is but a preparation for greater calamities. Famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. I was just looking up, you know, it's good to look up some of these things and when you're coming to study the Word of God and look at what's happening in the world. For example, famines. And just looked over 1991 to 1992, a famine in Somalia caused by drought and civil war, 300,000 people died. In 1996 in North Korea, scholars estimate 600,000 people died of starvation. In actual fact, others have put it up to as many as 3.5 million people died in North Korea through starvation. In 1998, famine in Sudan, 70,000 people died. In 1998 to 2004, the Second Congo War, 3.8 million people died, mostly of starvation and disease. 3.8 million people. The Niger food crisis in 2005, 2006, 3 million people were affected with starvation. 10 million throughout West Africa. In 2011-12, famine in Somalia. In 2012, famine in West Africa through drought. We could go on. Listen, but remember this. Behind every one of those statistics, remember, every one of those are individual human beings going out to eternity. And eternity where? When you think about 3.5 million, let me tell you, friend, those are everyone individuals that a heart beat and had a precious soul just like you and me. Going out to God's eternity. Famines. Then look at the next thing is pestilences. And friend, you know, pestilence is a contagious disease that spreads out of control, killing many people. That's its meaning. And in recent years, many countries have been stricken by waves of new infections. You know, during the 1950s and 60s, The successful use of antibiotics and vaccines led to many believe that the war against infectious diseases had been won. And now they tell us, 2017, that our antibiotics are hardly any use to us anymore because we're so used to them. But diseases haven't stopped. And sadly, friend, what man believed was true was not true. And with air travel, which is now an everyday occurrence, infectious agents that were previously confined to one corner of the world can jump across continents. Just in a moment. Ebola, AIDS, cholera, bubonic plague, foot and mouth disease, yellow fever. Did they not tell us a few years ago that TB was on the decline for 30 years? Friend, let me tell you, they tell us today that TB is starting to take hold again. And there's another great potential. Biological warfare. Chemical attacks by fanatical rogue elements at large in the world, spreading pestilence, disease. We're living in a dangerous place, you know. The Word of God says pestilences. And then it says earthquakes. 2001, India, 25,000 people died. 2003, in Afghanistan, 32,000 people died. In 2004, Indonesia, 230,000 people died. In Pakistan in 2005, 75,000 people died. In China in 2008, 87,000 people died. In Haiti in 2010, up to 300,000 people died. In Japan in 2011, 21,000 people died. In Nepal 2015, 9,000 plus people died. Friend, I'm only touching. What was that? Earthquakes. Earthquakes. And it says here, in divers places, and the word there means various places. And friend, we're hearing it on the news. You say to me, preacher, tell me, is that the sign of his coming? That he's coming now? You better read verse 8. It says, all these are the beginning of sorrow. Now, that's not the end story, friend. All these are the beginning. You see, these all, whether it be what we have seen, the deceivers and the wars and the rumors of wars and the pestilences and the famines and the earthquakes in all of these places, these are characteristics of the age in which we live. But they're not the sign of the end of the world. Yes, they're pointers along the way. They're what they are, the upheavals in this world that we are to expect as we hasten toward the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice what it says. These are the only the beginning. You know, when I look at all those statistics tonight and see all of those people ushered out into God's eternity through wars and through famines and pestilences and earthquakes and all the rest of it, and the Word of God says that's the beginning, what is the Holy Ghost saying? There's plenty more to follow. Have you ever thought, if that's the beginning of sorrows, what will the end be? What will the end be? Now, time's away tonight, but I want to draw your attention very quickly to verse number 9. Then. Now, we're moving from what's happening in the world, and we're moving now what's happening amongst the Lord's people in the last days. And it says in verse number 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. What's happening here, friend? Here's the fearful affliction. They shall deliver you. He was talking to his disciples, friend, and they did. They did. And as we approach the Lord's return, the world in relationship to the Lord's people is not getting a comfortable place. And I want to warn you, friend, this world hates the people of God. We're looked upon as the enemy. The world has never accepted the Lord. And the world will never accept the Lord's people. Just quickly turn to John's Gospel in the chapter 15. And the Lord Jesus Christ said this in John chapter 15 and verse number 17. He said, these things I command you, that ye love one another. If the world hate you, you know it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. The world hates the people of God. This is not a friendly environment. Paul, writing to Timothy, as I said already in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear it. Sad to say, many of God's people don't want to hear it. Many of God's people totally reject the word doctrine. They don't want doctrine. They say, well, doctrine's divisive. I want to tell you, my friend, the Word of God tells me that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Notice what the Holy Ghost put first. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42. And any believer that stands up and tells you, I don't bother about doctrine, let me tell you, you just wonder exactly where does he stand? And what does he believe in? Paul experienced the hatred of his fellow countrymen. And this is not a gospel-friendly environment. We're strangers here. And notice then he says, not only will they deliver you up, but listen, it says they shall kill you. They shall kill you, and ye shall be hated. It's not easy to stand fast for God today. And that's why the Asher's Bakery and all the rest of those similar people who are in business, you need to pray that God will keep them. and God will keep his hand upon them, because this is a day of persecution, friend. And as we hasten toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as in the days of the disciples, because let me tell you, friend, the Lord Jesus was talking to his disciples. Do you know that the 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus, those that were faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, do you know that the disciples, the apostles, were martyred for their faith, except for John, who was exiled on the Isle of Patmos. They were martyred, and the apostle Paul was martyred. It's not easy to stand. But I'm not going to depress you, because I have something to tell you which is good. Just turn quickly, we're nearly finished, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Remember, Timothy was about to, or Paul was about to die for his faith in Jesus Christ. And he said there in verse number 14, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. He handed him over to God. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And at first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that may not be laid to their charge. But here's the lovely thought. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Had nobody else, but I had the Lord. And it's not easy to stand, friend. And the Word of God says, Paul tells the church at Galatia, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. It'll not be easy to stand, but praise God, you'll never stand alone. Hallelujah. It says, the Lord, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. And he strengthened me. In verse 10 of chapter 24, it says, And then shall many be offended. That means many shall discontinue. They'll turn back. They'll turn back. And it says, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And then notice in verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. There's pollution as well as persecution. They shall arise from within, and they shall pollute and corrupt sound doctrine. I've often heard our brother Jim pray, Lord, keep our college. Keep our college, keep our teachers, keep our doctrine pure. He's right. Verse 12 and 13, you can look this yourself, we're finished. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There's a falling away. You know, many people lose courage. They lose heart. They cannot stem the flood of iniquity. Iniquity shall abound, and because of that, the love of many shall wax cold. And because they can't stem the flood of iniquity, they lose heart. Their courage is dampened. Their zeal. And they turn away. Friend, we're living in a day when many are turning away from the truth. Living a day of darkness, a day of apostasy. Men are turning away from the Word of God. From the old paths. From that time, it says in John chapter 6, verse 66, from that time many of them went back and walked with him no more. Jesus turned to his disciples, and this is what he said. He says, will you go away? will you also go? They said to him, Lord, to whom can we go? Thank God they remained faithful. Friend, tell me, do you know the Lord? We're going to come back to this. We're going to come back to it. But do you know the Lord? That's the only thing that matters tonight. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. If you're not ready, I beg you in God's name tonight, get ready. Danger ahead. Eternity. Let's pray.